all of you. Will you preach with me tonight?
Yes.
Amen. We'll all get more out of it if you do.
Amen.
Now, don't come up to me after church and say, well, I would have said this. I'm not going to mention any names because somebody will recognize even 25 years ago, but when I was pastoring in Springfield Central Assembly, I had this wonderful lady that had a earned doctorate in music and voice. And after I preached, she would meet me right down at the bottom of the steps there. And I understand, I had microphones, but there were almost 4,000 people there. And I'd walk down, and as soon as I get in that bottom steps, she'd be waiting for me. And I'm not going to say doctor who she was, but she'd look at me and she'd say, Pastor, she was about this tall. And I thought she was about this tall. Scared me. Yes, doctor. If you don't stop screaming, you're going to lose your voice. And she'd teach me voice modulation. Didn't work. I'm still screaming. And I still got a voice, and she's in heaven. But I get there, I'm going to say, you knew some things, but the anointing allows you to do something more than. Did you hear me? The anointing allows you to do something more than. At the end of this service tonight, we're going to acknowledge Lynn and Alice Young, our missionaries. These were our probably first missionaries we've ever had in the church. They were with me when I was at New Life, and we've kept them here. Pastor Bruce, that's where they're headquartered. And they're here this evening. Just wait, but we're going to call you up at the end of the service. That's Lynn and Alice Young. Their pictures are right back there on that wall in the Philippines. And we have a church there, the sanctuary called Impongpong. Somebody say Pongpong. It's the name of this town. We have a church called the Sanctuary of Hope in Pongpong. And God has blessed, and we are so glad to be part of that. Isn't that something? My goodness. You can tell them we have multiple campuses. Now, that was a lot funnier, and you laughed, I want to tell you. Well, where's your other church? Is it in Ozark and Nixon? No, it's in Philippines. It's called Pongpong. And it's true. I'm going to give you a very brief word tonight because I'm going to bring Lynn and Alice up at the end of this. We're going to pray over them. And I can tell you right now, they're just visiting home. This is one of their homes. But we're going to take up an offering for them because missionaries always need offerings.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How'd you like to go out on nothing? I mean, I remember when they first went to the Philippines. That was pretty sparse, wasn't it, son? Many years ago. And I remember, do you remember when we took the lawnmowers apart and mailed them to you and we shipped? We took the wheels and the bodies and the motors and we shipped them. And I thought, well, Lynn, that's great. You're going to have a lawnmower. He goes, yeah, we kind of need them. Why? He said, well, if we keep the grass mown down, we can see the cobras better. Send him three. You have no idea what it was. The what?
9 foot
long cobras. That's the kind Moses messed with, the staff. 9 foot long ones. They are so, they won't let them have them. Only the rebels have them. It's unbelievable what they went into. There's really nice areas of the Philippines, but they didn't choose that. And they went into the scariest places on this earth. And Pastor Bruce still tells stories, and Brother Jerry did, and all these great men of God that have been there. But I'm telling you, I want you to get ready to write a check. We're going to support. These are our missionaries. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Ruth will have one. I don't have it. I can't carry the checkbook. She don't let me. But I'm just kidding you. We'll have one given to Brian to add to it. But we're going to support Lynn and Alice. And I want you to do that. Just a few minutes. Let me talk about what I talked about this morning in just a little more depth. This morning I talked about situations. You're either in the middle of a situation, or you're coming out of a situation, or you're going into a situation. That's the cycle of life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Doesn't matter who, I don't care how good you've got it. I don't care how bad you've got. You have what life is full of situations. I tell you something. This is not in the script. But I was watching a show the other night with Ruth on television on the History Channel. And it was the life of Queen Elizabeth. And it showed their family. And it talked about all the junk that's gone on in Queen Elizabeth's family over the years. Her sister, her daughters, her children, and everything that's happened. And I looked at Ruth and I said, those folks are messed up. I mean, messed up. It's sad. It was pitiful. And all this time she had to keep the stoic face of the queen and heartache and trial. And I thought, my dear Lord, situation after situation after situation. I have to have a card file to manage my situations because your situations are mine. So I alphabetize them. I've got so many situations right now, I don't even know what to do. But I know God knows. And I know that where I can't keep track of everything, and I really mean that. There are things going on in my mind right now as I'm talking to you and I'm thinking about individuals right now currently that are going through things that a shepherd, a pastor is concerned about. And I have multiple situations going on right now, and some are higher and deeper and darker, and some are lighter, but they're big to us when we're going through them, right? So this morning I talked about this. More than removing the situation in your life, what God spoke to me is he said, tell them to don't change my situation, change me. Change me. You see, if you want the treasure of life, you'll learn that you don't ask God to remove you out of the situation, but to change you in the situation, because God knew a billion years ago if there was such a thing. He, being omniscient, knew and knows today and knows for the rest of your life every situation you're going to be in. Nothing's going to catch him by surprise. He doesn't get up tomorrow and look at the next day's newspaper. He has the omniscience that only he has, and that means all-knowing, and he knows every situation for the rest of your life. Until we're all safely together in heaven, he knows every situation you're going to be in. And he has allowed us. Now, sometimes we've placed ourselves there, and then we look at God's mercy and grace and love, but he knew it. Sometimes we're put there by situations, by people, by things, but they're part of life, and God's aware of all of them. And what we learn is this: as a child of God, do we get up and we try to confess them away or ask God to take us out of them? And the Holy Spirit made it very clear to me several years ago that if I take you out of this situation, I'm removing a treasure in your life that you can get no other way than through this situation. And then he spoke to me and said these words: pain is a down payment on victory. I don't know why God allows pain, but he allowed his own son to die a grievous death, and it seemed to be unresponsed. It seems to be, and the world, that he was just put away, but it wasn't. He had purpose, and the situation of the cross gave me and you hope today that our sins are forgiven and completely washed away, and I've got victory in Jesus. Amen. So this morning, change me, not my situation. Tonight, truly briefly, because I want to spend a little time praying with our missionaries. Tonight, use me. This morning, change me. Tonight, use me. Now, get out your pens. Don't do it. Because somebody's going to try to always give you a religious recipe. If I follow bank, 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 and bank, this, and this will happen. I want to show you a principle more than a recipe. Because a principle is something you can understand and then you can apply it to your life, because every recipe is different. You say, well, how can that be? God isn't different. He's the same. Yes, but he's individual to you. Yes. Have you ever thought about that? God is individual to you. When you get to heaven, this is something that you're going to find out. I'm telling you the truth. I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that God has designed heaven for you so individually that it's going to be what your idea of perfection is to the millionth of a degree, and it's not going to be like mine, because you may like this and I don't, and you may like that and I don't, but God has designed a place, heaven, for you and I that's individual and still in the same place just for us. That's so perfect for us. Can you imagine? God has done that. He's that. Do you believe what I'm saying? Do you think this is just pie in the sky stuff? No. Somebody said, no. This isn't something to just get you. This isn't an aspirin to get you by the headache of life till Jesus comes. I'm telling you a fact that we live beneath the glory of God in our life. And we live beneath the blessing of God in our life. And we live beneath the power of God in our life. And we hear these things and we many times look at them as truth, but not truth applied. But I want you to learn how to apply the truth of God to you, to where the truth of God is truth applied. So when you hear about joy, you can experience joy. When you hear about peace, you can experience peace. When you hear about the comfort and the leading of God, you can experience the comfort and the leading of the Holy Spirit and live in what is yours. It is yours. So God, this morning, change me now. And don't change my circumstance, change me. You see, if God, I said it this morning, God didn't change the lion's den, he changed Daniel. He didn't change the fiery furnace, he changed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When their bonds were burnt off and a theophany was taking place, a Christophany, Jesus, the Son of God, walking in the flames that were about 72 degrees with low humidity, and they were enough to kill the world, but it was a pleasant place to be because Jesus was there. If there wasn't a fiery furnace, you see, the situation gave them a power in their life they would have gained no other way. If they hadn't been the situation with Goliath, you see, Goliath never changed. But David did. He grew. Amen? Amen? And whatever you're facing today, if there's dread or anxiety or concern, let me speak to you and tell you that you are safe in the hand of God. The blood of Jesus covers you. The presence of God overshadows you. And though our human emotions react to the situation, God is still in control. And will be. Just give him the reins. So how does God use us? Very quickly, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, one of the great stories of, as we pronounce it, Jehoshaphat, which is totally, completely wrong, but that's how we say it. The Moabites and Ammonites and the Midianites had come on this righteous king, the son of Asa. Asa was a godly king. I think he reigned, I don't know, can't remember, 40 years. And then Jehoshaphat comes along, he's 35 years old. When he starts, he reigns 25 years. He's a godly king. He's doing even more and serving God in Judah, in the land of Judah. And then here comes all of the enemies of the past. Moab, Ammon. These are the descendants of the son, the illegitimate sons of Lot from his own incestual situation with his daughters that became nations, Mennonites. And they came to make war with Jehoshaphat. So some men came and told him in verse 2, I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2 in the NIV. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. Edom is the birthplace. When you hear Edom, Edomites, you're talking about the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. That was rebellious toward God. So all the way around, he is surrounded by longtime enemies. And so here they come from Edom, this huge army. From the other side of the sea, and they're already in Hazazon, Tamar, which is the Engedi. The Engedi is a beautiful area of like grass and spring areas and palm trees. So they're coming from that direction. The Bible says in chapter 3, alarmed, and who wouldn't be? Listen to me. When you come into a situation, it's alarming. How honest can I be with you? 100%. Okay, that's plenty right there. I get really tired of super Christians that nothing bothers them. They're so powerful in God. Because I feel like such a weenie. I feel like a wimp. I think, oh God, I'm nothing. I'm just nothing. It just scared me what I just heard, and they're going, bless God, not me. Not just for me. When I hear things that happen to you, I go, oh God, I'm alarmed. Come on, God. Look at this. Here's a righteous king. And the Bible says when he hears the news, that he and I are not too different. He's alarmed. It's not a lack of faith. It's a shock when situations come. So Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. First thing he did was proclaim a fast. Listen to me. When you're in a situation, coming into a situation, fast before God. Don't wait till January the 4th, till February. Don't wait till your two, to your week in the year. Fast before God. Proclaim a fast. You have no idea the power of fasting. If you want God to use you, if you do say amen, then proclaim a fast. That's saying this. I'm resolving that God's going to get in this. I'm resolving God's going to be part of this. And so I'm going to go inquire of God. I'm going to go trust in God, and I'm going to fast after I inquire in the Lord. I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to ask God to help me. I'm going to fast before him. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assemblies, in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. I mean, it pinpoints where he's at. Because he's saying this, God, I want to be used. If you haven't got a battle, you haven't got any purpose. Now, I'm not advocating you go out and try to find one. They'll find you. But I'm saying when they do, take the challenge. Take the challenge. When the enemy comes after you, take the challenge. Inquire of God and fast. And then come together with the people of God. Come to church. Verse 6, and he said, O Lord, God of our fathers. And if you looked at the way that's written, that's a lot of big terms, O Lord God. That's Elohim Yahweh. My goodness. I mean, he's using the supreme names of God. He says, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God, listen to this, of our fathers? Who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. He first proclaims God as being who he really is. He didn't polish God's apple. He just told the truth. Amen? That's all he did. He just told the truth. Verse 7, O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? This is 2022, right? And we're talking about the time of the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. Is there still an Israel today?
Yes.
Is it not stronger?
Yes.
A little tiny nation, but it's known all over the globe.
Yes. Amen.
He was proclaiming the truth about God. Said, they have lived in it, talking about the land, and built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, and this is what, listen to this, this is what you have. This is your sanctuary in God, not in this building. This is your sanctuary, your place of refuge in God. This is what he said. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment, or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you'll hear us and save us.
Amen.
Father God, I've got a situation I'm in. I'm going to come to you, I'm going to pray about it, then I'm going to fast. I'm going to take the rest of this day, I'm going to fast this day before you. I'm going to go to church. And I'm going to stand in your presence, and I'm going to proclaim you as Lord and King and worship you for who you are. You haven't changed. Your word hasn't changed one bit. Not a word has fallen to the ground. Everything you said would happen has happened. Everything you say will happen will happen. And for that, I glorify you as my God. And if I get in trouble and I'm in one or I have a situation, I want to be used by God, not hide someplace and run away from it. I want to be used. God, I want to be changed by the situation, but I want to be used by you in it. Then God says this is the pattern. When that happens, then God starts speaking into your life. Verse 14 says, in the Spirit of the Lord. How many know that's the Holy Ghost? Is there just one Spirit? Yes. One God? Yes, the Scripture says. This is the capital S. This is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes on Jehaziel, which is the wrong pronunciation, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, and stood in the assembly. He was a Levite. He was a priest from his heritage. Asaph was the great music pastor of David. He wrote part of the Psalms. Read the Psalms, you'll see a Psalm of Asaph. See, this guy's got a heritage behind him. I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, I don't care if any of your immediate relatives were Christians or not, as a child of God, you've got a heritage behind your name. You have a divine heritage behind your name. Namely, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All the angels of God and the saints that are there, that are a great cloud of witnesses that are crying out to you, don't quit, stay in there, go to work, ask God to use you. because the end is priceless. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is Jehaziel, this man with a heritage just like you have. Listen, King, and all who live in Judah, this is what the Lord, Yahweh, says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Okay, now it's one thing if I come in to your situation, I say, no, don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Pastor, I trust you and I believe you. Thank you. However, but when the voice of God says, don't be afraid, he says it with authority. And it's not commanding. He says it, listen to this, he says it with the ability to keep you from being afraid. Amen. That's the good thing about God. When he says, don't be afraid, he's saying, I have the ability to help you to not be afraid. So if I say, don't be afraid, all you have to say is, Lord, you said don't be afraid, so you take care of that part. And he goes, no problem, I got this. He says, not only don't be afraid, but don't be discouraged. So that means he has the power to help you not to be discouraged. Anybody in here ever been discouraged besides me? I don't like just holding my hand. Come on, what's wrong with you? If you're at some party and somebody asks you to hold your hand, you're just waving. I'm talking about acknowledging the Word of God. Have you ever been discouraged? Of course we have. But God says don't be, and the only way we can't be is if God says it. And when God says it, he has the ability to keep us from being that in a situation where we should be. When he told Joshua that he was going to take over the leadership of Moses, the Word of God says that he repeatedly in Joshua chapter 1 and 2, don't be discouraged or dismayed. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Constantly he said, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. What he's saying is, I have the ability to help you to not be. Amen. If you'll trust in me. So I choose Jesus. Amen? Amen. And he said this, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, because of what you see, the circumstance. You say, the situation. You say, God, I ask you to use me. And then you get the definition of what that means to you. I'm going to write a best-selling song. I'm going to learn to play the guitar. I'm going to go to Nashville. More often than not, God wants to use you in the battle. Do you hear me? Do you think I'm just telling you a bunch of baloney? Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Yes.
But do you believe it's for you?
Yes.
See, that's the hard part. I hear people all the time say, Pastor, I have no time, no problem at all praying for somebody else, but when I pray for myself, it's hard. But do you understand that you can pray for yourself? David prayed for himself quite often. Do you understand the same word that you use on somebody else works for you? And you should practice that. Man, you have no idea how many times I have come to this house in a horrible state and laid my hands on myself. I said, Father God, I pray for myself right now. And God's done it. He'll do it. You need to learn. This is how you get in the battle. This is how you're used. Start with you. He says, don't be discouraged, afraid or discouraged because of what you see. And here's what it means to be used by God. It means that you have inquired of him, you've fasted, you've gone to the house of God, you've assembled together, you've got people, you've prayed with it, you've told God, give me courage to fight this situation. And then you relinquish the battle to God. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. It doesn't matter. It's true. Well, I'm not so sure that it's true. You give it back to God because you can't do it. You don't have any ability, but He does. So being used of God means acknowledging this situation, going to God and praying, fasting before God, getting together with people that of like faith, like we prayed for Pastor Tim, acknowledging God's power and glory and all of this, and then when we go to battle and we get ready, we go, okay, God, all right, Jesus, we're ready to go. Just tell me what you want me to do. And I tell you every time, He's the general and you're the private. He gave them very specific orders. Tomorrow, march down against them. Go find the enemy tomorrow. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz. I mean, He knows tomorrow. So He directs you. Go this way. You're saying, God, I'm walking around into the face of a fight. Yes. And you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. Verse 17, He says, you will not have to fight this battle, but take up your positions. It's a battle position. You want to be used by God? Do you? Then you take up your position and let God fight it. How many times has God painted a beautiful portrait and you put your fingerprints all over wet paint? There's my involvement. And all we've done is smudge it. I mean, I have. I don't know about you. How many times have we done, instead of taking up our position and standing firm and seeing the deliverance of the Lord? If you want to be used by God, it's different than some people will tell you, but this is biblical. He'll do the fighting. It's His glory. It's His joy. But He wants you in the position to see what's happening. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. I want you to watch what I'm going to do for you. So being used by God isn't going out there and being the big Christian celebrity we see so much today, or the spotlight on you. In fact, the spotlight stays on Jesus. All we do is get prepared to go, turn it over to Him and worship Him and go where He strategically tells us to go and stand right there and wait and say, God, I'm waiting to see what You're going to do, because I'm going to leave here and I'm going to tell everybody I know, look what God did for me. And He will never, ever fail you. Here's what happened at the end of the story. They did what He asked them to do. They were used by God. Being used by God doesn't mean you take the lead. Never has. It means you follow the leader. And watch the glory of God unfold. It means going into the presence of God, trusting, watching Him, and then coming out of there and say, let me tell you what my God did. The Bible says, the Amorites and the Moabites turned on each other. They saw things differently. He gave them a spirit of delusion. They began to kill each other. When they got finished, then the other nations came and they saw each other as enemies, and they literally killed every one of each other till the last two killed each other. And when the children of Israel gazed over the valley, there was nothing but dead enemies. Took them 3 days to pick up all the bounty of those dead enemies. God, that's a great story. It can be yours. It can be yours in every situation. Not some of them. In every situation in your life. If you're willing to follow that plan of God, put it into His hands, and stand back and see if God don't know better than you do. See if He can't do more than you can. See if He can't answer quicker and better than you can. It's one thing to be changed in the situation. Then we see God's glory. Now, let's be used in the situation.